It is great to have you on the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. I'm Joel Inhouse, and on this podcast, we want to encourage you to grow closer to God, to strengthen your marriage, and to inspire your family to reach its highest potential.
Being a pastor is one of the biggest blessings of my life. It can also be really challenging. Often it feels like everyone wants something from you. That's one of the reasons that it's so refreshing when you find a trusted ministry partner, a Christ-centered, church-driven organization that's truly there to help you carry your church's mission forward. For me, Compassion International has been one of those trusted ministry partners. Hear me say this, Compassion International is much more than asking people in your church to sponsor a child. Compassion offers proven, no-cost resources to help pastors make mission and discipleship a personal priority for individuals and families in their churches. My local Compassion team is in my corner. They genuinely care about me and my church. Learn more about partnering with Compassion at compassion.com/family goals.
Today, we sit down with marriage counselors Daniel and Bonnie. Let's dive in to their greatest advice for couples.
I'm good.
Hey, we want to introduce you guys to our kids real quick. This is Colby.
What up, Colby?
And Josie.
What up, Josie? How y'all doing?
Nice to meet you guys.
Good to see you, dudes.
Colby's a big Dogs fan and a big David Pollock fan.
Well, you're a bad judge of character, Colby. Let me hear you bark, Colby. Go Dogs. Sick 'em. Oh, 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 oh.
That's right. And Josie is a great musician, singer, songwriter.
Ooh, oh, wow. Nice.
Matter of fact, awesome. Follow Josie Hoover on Spotify if you like country music and like really good Christian-based country music.
Let's go. I hear you, homegirl. Good for you.
Yeah, Davey is a huge country music fan.
Love country music. How
yeah.
do you know?
Yeah.
She's got a new song releasing Friday, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Bang, bang. Well, that's nice awesome. To meet you, dudes.
Good to meet you guys.
Are your parents cool or are they lame? Thank you, Josie. Appreciate the honesty. Thank you, Josie.
Do they have a good marriage?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I got a question for you. Here's a good question for you. Does their marriage excite you about being married?
Yes, sir.
There you go. That's a good marriage then.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
All right. Now y'all go away and let the adults swim here.
That's right. Donna.
See you guys. Hey, go back to bed.
Yeah.
They had a youth weekend and they're homeschooled, so they can go back to bed and sleep for a little bit.
We know what that looks like. That's the 2:30 in the morning, 3:00 in the morning, way too late. Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
All right. Well, Daniel and Bonnie Hoover, welcome to the Family Goals Podcast. Great to have you guys.
It's great to be here.
Thanks so much.
So tell us a little bit about your lives, your marriage. Let's just dive right in.
All right.
Well, we met in college and got married a year later. We met and about a week later said, this is it. And it was. And so we got engaged 6 months later, then got married a year later. And then we graduated from college after we were married a year. And then we went on the road full time leading worship for a while. And then God brought us to north side of Atlanta. And on staff at a church, great church.
Yep. So we spent about 10 years on the road leading worship. And then we went to North Star Church and were there for 20 years.
That's Mike Lynch's church.
Pastor. Yep. Mike Lynch is our pastor and was there as worship pastor for a while. And then I stepped into the executive pastor position for a while. And while I was there, Bonnie and I my master's was in counseling. And so Bonnie and I met with a couple of couples that just were at bad places in their marriage, walked through affairs, different things like that. And I'll never forget kind of what really God did to launch this fire in our belly to help marriages is we went out to breakfast with this couple and we thought they just wanted to get to know us, just wanted to, hey, you know, you're our executive pastor, just want to get to know you a little better. And that wasn't it at all. They confessed one of them had just had an affair and they needed some help. And we got back in the car and man, my heart broke for them. Mm-hmm. But Bonnie felt a little different feeling.
I got in the car and I was just ticked off. Not at it, Bonnie.
Keep it real, girlfriend. Keep it real. I like that.
Well, it was not at them because they were just victims of the enemy's attack and just let their guard down. And I was so infuriated because I saw very clearly this picture of the enemy can't take down the whole body of the church just like that. But he's picking off families. He's picking off marriages one by one, deceiving them, and just a little bit at a time, eroding the foundation of the church. And he's doing that through marriages and families. And it just lit this fire in me that we have to do something to help and to help couples to be able to stand firm against the enemy and his attacks. And that really just kind of sent us down a road of wanting to invest more in marriages.
So that's so So that's the starting point. First of all, we got to go back real quick. A week we knew we were bound to be married. That seems aggressive.
Yeah.
A week.
Yeah.
We knew it. I had dated a girl for 3 years. She had dated a guy for 2 years. We knew what we didn't want.
Yep.
And it was the other person y'all had.
Exactly. Well, we did. We just hung out for. I mean, it's like you hear people say, "When you know, you know." And for us, I thought that was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard. And then we spent just several hours one evening just talking about everything. And that night I just knew, okay, I'm going to marry this guy. He's what I've been praying for. Or it just seemed.
I had hair then. I just want
to
say. I'm
about to say, so he looked a lot better then.
I looked a lot better.
I'm just kidding. So I think the crux of that is you guys were equally yoked. You guys were pursuing Jesus. You had a relationship. So you knew that was the great foundation, obviously, and the Bible talks about that with marriage. So now moving forward, and you have this situation, and it's going down, and you see marriages and people, and there's fighting. So now, what did y'all work with God now to try to? How did y'all put this together now to try to help marriages?
Yeah. So we had both been called to ministry when we met. So going back to that, and she was one of the first girls I had ever met that was just running hard after Jesus, and as hard or harder than I was. And you kind of said the same thing. And so when we met, it was like, oh, good gravy. And then of course she looks like she did, and that didn't hurt. Right. And so I'm like, holy cow. Yes. And so we,
he's sweet to me.
So fast forward, that was, in 96, and we got married in 96. So that was in 95. So 96. And then fast forward to about 2017, 2018, we had done ministry together our whole marriage up, you know. And so now God's leading us into this new ministry to married couples. And we'd have never guessed that was in the cards. And so we started leading premarital workshops at our church. Just, you know, it wasn't in my job description, but it was something we had a passion for. And then we started doing workshops for married couples at the church. And then it all kind of went down in 2019. We just got away for a weekend and we were praying, God, what do you have next for North Star Marriage? And in that weekend, we just went away, took our little RV by the lake, put out the awning, sat there by the lake for 2 or 3 days and just sought the Lord and enjoyed some time together and some time with him. And he gave us, man, this vision that was so, so apparent.
Yeah.
And it was kind of when we left the lake that weekend, it was kind of a three-legged vision for this ministry called the Marriage Adventure. And part of it, one of those legs is the podcast, the Marriage Adventure podcast. One of those was a book, some curriculum, Bible study curriculum we wanted to write and get out there. And then the third part of it was this, it was a part for, we thought, 10 years down the road.
A dream,
kind of maybe when my pastor retires from North Star, I'd retire from North Star when our kids are out of the house. They're 12 and 14 now, that we would do this then, that we'd have some property that we could invite couples too, that's marriages are just in a bad place or falling apart. And man, we could invest in them and do intensives with them. And God, COVID happens and the world gets weird. And so we just start looking for property. What else are you going to do when you're sitting at home in COVID? And in 2021, we moved to this 10-acre farm that we live at now. And God started writing on our heart to do ministry here so much sooner. And so last year, a year ago, which this is a whole nother podcast episode, this whole story of how this happened, I was able to step away from North Star, and we were able to do this ministry full time.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So why do you call it the marriage adventure?
Well, depending on how you look at it, I mean, marriage is an adventure or an adventure.
So, oh, it is.
It's either, you know, and I think that's something that we miss out on in marriage, the fact that God has created this amazing journey for us, and he sees the whole picture. Sometimes we get stuck in the, you know, the pitfall or the roadblock or whatever, and we can't see beyond. If we could just continue and see God's whole plan for our marriage, that just around the corner, if you're in a hard spot, it's going to open up to the best view you've ever seen, but it's ups and downs and it's everything in between. And if we could just stay in there and see God's viewpoint on it, then man, it's an amazing adventure. But adventure is hard, and it's fun, and it's all the things you think adventure should be.
And we love adventure as a family. We love hiking and kayaking and doing that kind of stuff. We love road trips, stuff
you,
like
you
that.
Crazy enough so for really, skydiving and any of that stuff yet, or what?
Not me.
Okay. If you ask Colby, our 12-year-old, yes, we are.
What about Josie? we met Josie too.
No,
Josie's not doing that.
Okay. No. All right. Sorry. Continue.
I mean, is this an offer?
No, I mean, I'm not jumping.
Are you
out of,
jumping
not,
out of a plane?
I'm not jumping out of a perfectly good airplane. Me and my wife have this talk all the time. Like, she would love to do it. And but by the way, I'd love to get the marriage counselor's advice here, the marriage adventure, the team over here, the dynamic duo. She was like, I'm going to wait till our kids are older just in case. And I'm like, wait a minute. So it's okay to leave me later. But and so it just matters where the kids are at. Like, yeah. I was like, first of all, that sounds extremely selfish. But so, yeah, we've talked about that before. But I'm not jumping out of an airplane. Not happening.
We've had those conversations, basically the same conversation.
Good. You know? All right.
So there's things that when the kids get out of the house, we can go back to doing. Right. And so I used to love to do, like, before kids, I'd do some triathlons and stuff. And then it came the day where Bonnie, when our kids were born, she was like, hey, every time you get on that bike and get in the water, I can't breathe until you call me. Because, you know, you're riding on the road and it's, yeah. And I'm not a great cyclist. And so we just kind of suspended that and said, you know, while our kids are little until they leave the house, let's just not do that type of thing.
Well, that's a good marriage. You're listening to your wife. That's a good marriage.
Well, and to be fair, it wasn't just the danger of it. It was that, you know, he had done a couple of triathlons, and I'm like, he said, hey, I think I want to train for this next race. And I'm like, I think we need to talk because you're gone all day on Saturdays. The kids were little. And I said, I think they need you here. And he said, you're right. And so I appreciate, like you said, he does. He's leaned into that. And for a season, it's like we only have this short window with them. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go back to our hobbies and our, you know, the things that we want to do that we still have dreams for. But for right now, our kids are, we want to see them grow in the Lord and know him and have and do life with two parents that love each other and love them.
And I want to have those hobbies that can include them and benefit them. And I think I did when they were little, I did my last marathon and I said, I want to do it in such a way that my family doesn't even know I'm training for one.
Yeah.
And so I would get up and get out and start running at like 4:35 in the morning. And by the time I'd get back from a long run, they were just getting up. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted, we just want to have those hobbies that can include our kids and that we can do, you know, cause we added it up the other day, man, we've got 4 years with Josie left. We got 5 years with Colby left at home. And I'm like, man, okay, it's on now. Right. Yeah. And I'm
we don't have time to waste.
No.
So you'd mentioned earlier, and I agree with you that the enemy, Satan, Satan comes to steal and kill and destroy. And so he wants to destroy marriages. He wants to destroy families. And that's the fabric, the foundation of our church, of course, is Jesus Christ. But then from that, it's the marriages, it's the families. And so what do y'all think are some of the biggest challenges facing marriages today? As you've counseled with these couples, what are some of the, I guess, the game plan of the enemy? Like, how is he looking to attack marriages? What are the biggest challenges that are facing marriages today?
Yeah. I think there's two things, and they probably play together. One is we're all idolaters, right? And the idol we put up is us, ourself. We're selfish, and that plays in marriage big. I want my own way, and I want to do the things I want to do, and we put self on that pedestal. And so I think that's one. And learning to die to ourself is a daily thing that God has to do in us as Christ begins to live his life through us, right? The fruits of the Spirit, all of that. The second thing I think is marriages and families is distraction. Mm-hmm. It's, and that plays into the selfishness, right? It's that distraction, whether it be, I'm distracted by all the kids. We become Uber drivers and sports agents for our kids, right? And so our lives are just going this way and this way and this way and this way. And if I do it for one kid, well, then I got to do it for all the kids. And families aren't connecting. And so I don't want to throw shade on all of that, but we have to understand when those things are benefiting the family and the marriage as a whole, and when those things are destroying the family as a whole.
How do you know that?
For us, I'll be honest, Colby, our son, had to tell us. He was in travel ball, and it was great for a season for our family. Josie was young enough. She went. She enjoyed hanging out with all the sisters. I was kind of helping coach, right? I was the team chaplain. Basically, I went out and made jokes and had fun with the
dad
kids.
Dad jokes.
And then one day, Colby looked at us, and we viewed it as a ministry, right? We had a lot of great ministry opportunity with those teams. And we told our kids, this is our ministry. And some salvations came out of that team, and some great things came out of that. But Colby looked at us at one point before the season started back, and we said, Bud, are you excited about baseball starting back? And he said, man, when he found his words, he said, Dad, Mom, he was actually talking to you.
Yeah, you can tell. He told me, he said, we get in the car after school, and we rush down, and we meet Dad at the ball field, and we don't eat family dinners together anymore. And I miss just throwing the ball in the yard with Dad, and I miss family time.
And I miss church. I miss
Sunday mornings. I mean, we weren't the best team in the world, so we didn't play a lot on Sundays, but but when they did, he said, I miss church and I miss family time. And that's when we knew, okay, we're done. We're done here. It's no longer something that's benefiting our family that we're doing together, that's drawing us closer together. It's something that we're losing something in. And I try, because we've always had family dinners tonight together at night, sit around and talk. And we were doing that more and more in the car. We would still try to find time to do that, but we were just disconnecting, and our kids were starting to feel it. Mm-hmm.
So what about the family though? That he made it easy for you, but what about the family? What about the family that doesn't? The kid doesn't do that and doesn't say that. How do you accomplish that? Because there's a lot of kids that. They're not going to say that. They're not wise enough to say that. They don't have they might be better at sports and love sports more, you know, like they might not be. I'm not saying they're not good at sports. I'm just saying, like, how do we handle that then? Because that's going to be prevalent with a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, I think for one, I think if it's hurting your family, kids aren't going to notice that. I think as a parent, you have to help parent your kids in a direction that your kids can't be in charge of your family. Your kids can't lead your family, and you have to help them make decisions that are good for them, even if they don't like those decisions. And maybe that doesn't mean taking them out of sports completely, but helping them balance it and helping your family fight for the family time. I mean, I know our pastor, they were in sports all the way through, but they still, even if it was 9 o'clock at night, they would find time to eat dinner together in the car or after they got home. It's being intentional about that family time. If they're all involved in that, just not allowing it to overshadow every area of their life.
Yeah, and they typically say most marriages sit in miserable and bad for an average of 6 years before they ever reach out for any kind of help. And so when couples come to us here at the farm, this isn't new. This isn't something that's just happened. This is something that's been that. It's that old Casting Crown song. It's a slow fade, right? Mm-hmm. This is that slow fade that has happened over the years. And somewhere along the way, the husband or the wife is going to feel some sort of tension in the marriage relationship or in the family relationship. You're going to feel it. You're going to say, man, we're just going different directions. And at that point, one of you has to be willing to say, hey, can we have a conversation? We've got to begin to do something different. And families, what we've noticed is families get into this treadmill because other families are doing it. And so we're going to do this and this. And I don't mean to pick on travel ball. It's everything. It's our society. Mm-hmm. And we'll do this and this and this and this and this. And we'll spend our money this way and this way and this way because everybody else in our circle is doing it. Mm-hmm. And yet it's just the families are distracted. Marriages are distracted. Kids are coming first. Couples aren't making the time to connect with the Lord and with each other. And before you know it, the kids run the house, the activities run the house, and then the kids graduate and the couples look at each other and they're like, who are you?
Who is you?
what do we do now? And it's this codependent lifestyle that we develop on all these other things. And God only created us to be dependent on one person. That's him, right? He didn't intend for this to be a codependent relationship. This is supposed to be an interdependent relationship. And so I think how do couples go back to your question? How do couples realize that at some point along the way, when you feel that tension, when you feel that struggle of this isn't good, we're not in a good place, and our kids are running our lives, one of you has to be willing to have that loving conversation to say, hey, can we talk about this? And you got to make those hard calls.
Thank you for listening to this week's Family Goals Podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. You cannot get stuck in the pit. Just around the corner is an amazing view, God's view. God has an amazing adventure for all of us, especially in marriage. Adventures are fun and exciting and exhilarating, but they're also hard and difficult and sad and scary. But this marriage journey is so worth fighting for. Come back next week as we continue our conversation with Daniel and Bonnie. If you found this episode helpful, encouraging, or entertaining, please let us know by subscribing to the podcast or by writing a review. You can also reach us on Instagram and Twitter @Family Goals Pod. Thank you again for listening to the Family Goals Podcast, and we'll catch you next week.